Praise the Lord. Welcome to another special time in the presence of the Lord. I know that we're dealing with things quite virtually, but that doesn't stop God. That doesn't stop you either from hearing what God has to say. Tonight, I want to continue with a subject that we began addressing this morning, that was specifically addressing the issue of peace. And by default, in addressing the issue of peace, we're addressing the issue of fear and worry. Tonight, I want to get us to consider once again what the Lord has to say about this issue. Let's be reminded of this, that worry, fear, restlessness, a lack of peace is not a reality because of just the problems that you're facing, but that there is a spirit behind it. A spirit that wants you to live in fear. So the Word of God says to us that God has not given to us the spirit of fear. That's important to recognize. God has not given to you and I the spirit of fear. Let me restate that. God has not given to us the spirit of fear. Can you say that with me right now? God has not given to me the spirit of fear. But what has He given to me? The Word of God says God has given to me the spirit of power, the spirit of love, and a sound mind. This morning, we addressed two of those things. First of all, we talked about the mind of Christ. That's a sound mind. We talked about the power of love and the necessity to operate in that spirit of love. But all of that is connected to the power of God. And child of God, I want you to remind yourself this wonderful day. This day that the Lord has made for you and I to rejoice. God has not given to me the spirit of fear. God has not given me the spirit of fear. God has not given to me the spirit of fear. That's important for you and I to receive. But what kind of fear are we talking about here? Is the spirit of timidity. Because the word here is not the word phobia as it relates to that word fear. It's another word that addresses the issue of timidity. It's the word dilia. It reminds me of the word Delilah, actually. Dilia. You know what? What fear does, the spirit of timidity does, it robs you of your ability to function. God has not given you that. God has not given you the spirit of timidity, which causes you to withdraw and not face the issues that you have to address. But rather, He's given you this spirit of His power. His dynamic power. The power that brings about change. The power that transforms. The power that causes things to shift. He's given to you that spirit. And the spirit of his agape, his love. And the spirit, the Bible calls a sound mind. Sophronismo. A sound mind. A disciplined mind. It takes a disciplined mind to cut through whatever it is that's facing you right now. It takes a sound, disciplined mind not to live in the realm of fear. It takes a sound, disciplined mind not to take what God has not given to you. God had not given us. But what has he given us? He says in John 14 what he's given to us. In John 14 and verse 25, he tells us very clearly what he's given to us. In John 14, 26 and 27, he tells us what is given to us. He tells us first and foremost that he's telling us what he's telling us because he's present with us. He tells us that when he leaves, he's going to send the Holy Spirit, who is going to remind us of what he said and teach us. In other words, he's going to explain even more what the Lord said. And verse 27 says, "Peace I leave with you. Peace I give unto you." That's what he's given to us. He's given us his love. He's given us his peace. He's given us this sound, mature, disciplined mind. And he's given us his power. Why is that important? It is important because without these particular factors operational in our lives, we fail. It takes the power of God to turn your life and my life around. The power of God. God can reach you where you are and do with you extraordinary things today. Because your mind is stayed on him. God keeps you and I in perfected peace. Because our minds are focused on him and because we place our trust in him. When you trust God, things get to change. When you recognize that he's giving you, remember this again, 2 Timothy Chapter 1 and verse 7. Hear it. God hath not, he has not given us. He didn't give that to you. So don't take it. Take what God has given to you. What is that? Power. Love. A sound mind. Again, why is that important? Because when you do not take what God has given to you, you're going to take what the devil is offering you. And all the devil offers you is timidity. He offers you mediocrity. He offers you failure. He offers you everything that God doesn't want you to possess. In the book of Matthew, chapter 6, and verse 24, The Lord teaches. And he says, no man can serve two masters. Nobody can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one, or in essence, despise one, and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. In essence, child of God, you cannot hold on to faith and hold on to fear at the same time. You cannot hold on to the word of God and hold on to the world and its systems at the same time. You've got to make a choice. It's a choice. It's a decision. Or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Mammon. Mammonas. That word embraces the subject of wealth and resources. In very plain, simple language, it represents stuff. You cannot serve God and serve stuff. The decisions that you and I make are either going to be about trusting God or trusting man for stuff. One of the decisions I've made with all the offers that the government offers, made a decision, a very deliberate decision. I am not going to retrain myself to receive financing for the things of the kingdom of God from the government or governments to do the work of God. Now, it is not because God has never used governments to address the things of the kingdom. Obviously, he did it with Cyrus and he did it with Darius. Obviously, he did it with Pharaoh. But when you learn to place your faith and your trust in man, then you will have to serve that man. And you're going to have to jump based on what that man says. It is God's pattern to use his people to take care of his work. And I have faith in God that he is well able to bless his church, his body, so that they can do the work of the ministry and expand the purposes of God, rather than running to this government or to that government to get this, to get that, and so on and so forth. Listen, God knows every detail of my life and of his work, and is well able to resource and provide for his body. It's a decision I've made. That doesn't mean that's a decision somebody else might make. The three or four young Hebrew boys, Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, they said, we're not going to eat off the food that comes from the king's table. Give us our simple grub, our vegetables. And they looked better than the guys that were busy eating from the king's table. I'd rather have God provide for his people than trust in the provision of man. You cannot serve both. And I'm not going to place myself in the position to try to serve this and try to serve that. It is not possible. It is not. Once you go down that road, you plan for calamity. The Word of God says, Matthew chapter 6. Can't serve God and serve mammon. You're going to have to make a decision. Where do you stand? And why do you stand there? The next verse says, therefore, because you cannot serve God and mammon, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. I want you to note that phrase, take no thought for your life, because that's a crucial point. That point there is going to define the rest of this passage. Take no thought for your life. Don't focus yourself about how you're going to self-preserve yourself. What you are going to eat, what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on, is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Is not the life more than meat? What? Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life. Is not the life more... Are you telling me to take thought or not take thought? No, he's saying, don't take thought for your life. But then he says, is not the life more than meat? But that's why I was taking thought by what I'm going to eat, what I'm going to drink, what I'm going to wear. And God says, take no thought for that. Why? Because I am taking care of that. That's my responsibility. I take care of you. Stop concerning yourself about what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink. How is this going to happen? How is that going to happen? Oh, where is this going to? When is this going to happen? What is going to happen to me now? Now, does that mean that you don't plan? And does that mean that you do not address the issues that are facing you on a daily basis? No, that's not what it means. It means that God is saying to you that He is going to take care of you. He's going to show you what to do, how you're going to do it, because He's still going to work in you and He's still going to work through you. But if you focus your attention on what am I going to eat, what am I going to drink, where am I going to stay, you're taking on the responsibility, the weight, the burden of trying to take care of yourself. And God says, I take care of you. Calm down. Be at peace. I know where stuff is. I can deal with it. Listen to this. The next verse. Behold the fowls of the air. It says, look at the fowls of the air, the birds. For they sow not, neither do they reap. They don't sow and they don't reap. And they don't gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? I don't know where my food is going to come from today. My cupboards are empty. And God says to you today, that's okay. I know where your food is coming from. Look at the birds. They don't have bank accounts. They don't have grocery stores. They don't have any of that. He says, but I take care of them. Wow. God, what are you saying to me? Simple. I'm taking care of you. Don't worry about it. Don't worry. Pastor, be realistic. That's your problem. You and I are so realistic that we so realistically fan God away. And we place our mind on stuff. What we can feel, what we can touch, what we can see. And God's saying, I've got something better than that. What you can feel, what you can see, what you can touch. I got something better than that. Let's go a little bit further. Which of you, by taking thought, by thinking, dwelling on a thought for so long, can add one cubit unto his stature? It's just 18 inches. A cubit. He says, by you thinking about it, which of you can add one cubit? What is the point? I can add the cubit. I can make you taller. Wow. Pastor, be realistic. Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? Now, don't get all jumpy all over the place. This is God and his word. This is not about what I'm talking about. This is what he's saying. And guess what? It is because we do not grasp and believe God that we come into a state where we become restless and defeated. A woman had some sons. The husband died. The husband was a godly man, a prophet. And she's broke. They have nothing. The people they were indebted to come to collect. Debt can be a difficult thing when we don't trust God. We trust man, we can get ourselves indebted so easily. They came to collect. And she says, please just hold up, just for a moment. She goes to the prophet of God, Elisha, and says, listen, this is what's happening. They want to enslave my children. Because of the decision my husband made. So it is that many times we can go out and we try to get resources from whatever else, living pretentiously and enslave not ourselves only, but our children. The creditors come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen, to enslave them. And the prophet of God says, woman, what do you have in your house? What is it that you have in your house? And she says, I got a pot of oil. Oh, that's good. Now, I want you to go back home. And I want you to go to your neighbors and borrow from them empty vessels. Let's go. So she goes with her sons and they borrow empty vessels. There was nothing in those pots, nothing in these vessels. They were all empty. And the neighbors were glad to give them those empty vessels. What was happening here? God was about to do something extraordinary in a very difficult situation. Man of God, I came here asking you about the problem that I've got, and you're telling me to go borrow some more. Yeah, I'm telling you to go borrow, but I want you to borrow empty vessels. What am I going to do with these empty vessels? He says, when you get these vessels, shut the door, go behind the door, and take that pot of oil that you've got and begin to pour that oil into these empty vessels. There's so much to teach about this. I'm just skimming through the surface for a reason. And she began pouring from those, from the pot that she had, that had something. And as she was pouring it, those vessels began to be filled. One after the other, one after the other, one after the other. That which was finite, as long as it stayed in that pot, was a limited measure. But now being poured into others, it had infinite capacity. You say, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying that whatever it is that you need to experience is already in your life. That there are going to be creative ways that God is going to provide for you. And that the challenges that we face today are challenges that will bring us into a realm of creativity in God that will help us break through limitations, that which is finite in your hand becomes infinite in capacity as you begin to pour out of that which God has given into you into vessels that are empty. I think the greatest days of the church are here. At a time when the doors have been shut, God is going to be doing greater works behind the scenes. And child of God, God wants to do greater things in your life, in these days, in these times when the doors are shut, when it seems like it's impossible for you to function. God is saying, if you just trust me, I'm still in the business of generating out of nothing something that is beyond measure. Children of Israel experienced it. 40 years they walked through the wilderness. Shoes were growing. Clothes kept on growing and staying clean and neat and all of that. The miraculous movings of God. Yes, I was very deliberate when I used that word. The movings of God. That means that God is on the move. And the only way you and I can experience Him is to trust Him like never before. He says, look at the birds. They don't sow. They don't reap. They don't have a storage place, no barns. And which of you can add a cubit to his stature? When God asks a question like that, it means that He can. Won't that be amazing that somebody's looking for somebody that is five feet 10 inches. That's the person that the cops are looking for. And when you walk by them, you are not 5'10" anymore, you are 6'11". No, that's not the guy. The person we're looking for is 5'10". Not because you're wearing high heels. Your stature. Not outside stuff happening. What you've got expanded. God says, I can do that. I can feel your bucket. I can feel your cabinet. I can feel whatever it is that you're looking for, I can keep on filling it. You will not have to go hungry. I know what I'm talking about because I've lived it. In the early 80s, I couldn't work in this country. I couldn't. Because the government would not allow me to work. I was here to be a student. Now, God had a greater agenda about that. But not able to work and not having resources come to me from my home country, I had to depend on God. And guess what God did? He met all of my needs. He provided. I remember one time, things were so tough, so difficult. It was about Christmas, about this time of the year. I looked at my wife and I looked at our children. I had no money. I had no way to provide what, as a father, I felt compelled to provide for them. No capacity to buy them Christmas gifts. Nothing. I went on my knees, and it's hard to say, but I was not in a good mood. No, I wasn't. I was griping and complaining and talking foolish, telling God about how bad of a businessman he was, that I was in his service and he wasn't taking care of me. And after complaining for about an hour, the Lord asked me some questions. He said, so, you say I'm a bad businessman. I said, that's exactly what I said. So I have some questions for you. This year, how many times did you go to the grocery store and bought some meat or fish or chicken? I couldn't remember one time. Remember, this is November, December. He'd asked me the question. You say I'm a bad businessman. And by the way, how many people do you serve here in your house every Sunday? The reality was, after every service, I will invite some of the church members to our house. And we will eat together, 10, 12, 15 people, most Sundays. What have you been serving them? I said, the meat, the chicken, the fish, the beef. And exactly where are you getting it from? I said, from the freezer downstairs. We had this big freezer. You serve them all of that, and you don't remember going to the store. Your wife didn't send you to the store to get any of that all this year. I said, I don't remember. So how exactly are you getting meat from that same place? Dawned on me. While I was busy taking meat out of that freezer, God was busy filling it up. They were not freezer burnt. Every time God was providing. Yeah, I thought my provision was based on how much I had in my pocket. But God was busy providing for my family, and doing much more than that all that year long. I could go on and tell you more and more and more and more stories. Is it about my empty gas tank that I drove from Winnipeg to Otterburn back and forth in the cold of winter in an 8-cylinder Chrysler, Newport Chrysler, and I drove empty back and forth an hour each way for a whole week. And finally, when money came into my hand, I was able to fill that gas tank. And that thing moved from E to F. That was the only time I celebrated having F. Because I was able to trust God. And that capacity, that power to be able to trust God did not come from my willpower. It came from God's ability. And I want to say to you today that God has a way to provide for you. And you need not worry. We're not talking fiction here. We're talking about reality. The real thing that's beyond stuff. God is beyond mammon. God is beyond your dollars. God is beyond what you think you can do. In Matthew chapter 6, let's continue. If you cannot add a cubit, then watch this. He says, and why take you thought for the raiment? If you can't even add a cubit, why are you taking thought for the raiment? He says, let me give you another example. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. But what happens to them? He says, yet I say unto you that even Solomon, we're talking about Solomon here, the wealthiest man that ever lived, even Solomon in all his glory and splendor was not arrayed like one of these lilies in the field. If I paid attention to taking care of those lilies that are here this moment and are gone the next moment, don't you think I'm going to take care of you? The issue here is not about the needs that you and I have. The issue is believing that we've got a good Father who loves us, who cares for us, who understands us, and is well able to provide for us. That's the real issue. Listen to the next verse. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is today, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he, that is God, shall he not much more? Much more, not to the same equivalent level. Shall he not much more clothe thee? But, O ye of little faith. Shall he not provide for you, O ye of little faith? If I can take care of that which is so insignificant, and I can pay attention to that, won't I do that for you? Hmm. You mean I shouldn't worry? That's exactly what God is saying. I shouldn't be overtly concerned about what's going to happen next. God says, I don't need you concerning yourself with any of that. I got your back. I got your back. Trust me. I have a way to minister everything that you need to you. So, God, what am I supposed to do? Just sit down here and do nothing? His response is this. Take no thought. What are you going to eat? What are you going to drink? Wherewithal you shall be clothed? But do this. Do something different. He says, living in that realm of worrying about what you're going to wear, what you're going to drink, where you're going to stay, all of that, where are you going to drive, how is this going to happen, how is that going to happen, how am I going to get to college, how am I going to get into that university, how am I going to have this bill paid, how am I going to take care of that, how am I this, how am I that, and so on and so forth. He says, that's what the Gentiles worry about. Who are the Gentiles? Gentiles are people that don't know God. Living in the realm of worry is living like you don't know God. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. He says, I want you to know this. Your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. He knows that you need the clothing. He knows that you need the shelter. He knows that you need the food. He knows that you need the drink. He knows that you need that bill paid. He knows, he knows, he knows, he knows. He knows. He knows. So what does that mean? Tell you what that means. If you and I trust in God and His Word, remember, the lily does not spin. The birds don't sow, they don't reap, they don't have barns. God is taking care of them. And He's saying to you and I, only Gentiles, people that don't know God, worry about this stuff. The bigger issue is this then, that God is not very impressed in me praying about those things. Because that becomes an insult to God. God, I have to inform you that I need bread. I need housing. I need this and I need that. God says, don't concern yourself with any of that. He says, this is what I need you to concern yourself about. Seek ye first. Seek first the kingdom of God. Let your focus be about the kingdom of God, the reign of God, the sovereignty of God, and His righteousness, and all these things that the Gentiles are seeking after, they will be added unto you. God says, I need you to seek my will, my purpose, my kingdom, and the establishment of it, and I will take care of you. This is my way of saying, scratch my back, I will scratch your back.
God says, seek the kingdom of God. Seek knowing the things of God. Walking uprightly before me. Says, I'm going to take care of the other stuff. How do we seek the kingdom of God? Well, leading to verse 24 of Matthew chapter 6, let's look at verse 21 to 24 as we wrap up for this evening. Actually, let me take it from verse 18. Matthew 6, 18. He talks about, leading to this, he talks about doing things in secret and God rewarding us openly. Not doing things just to show off, whether it is praying or giving or any of that. He says, whatever it is that you're doing, do it unto the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth, because he is in secret, he seeth in secret, that God shall reward thee openly. God will reward you openly. And verse 19 says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. That is the problem. See, when you lay up treasures upon earth, your passion and your drive is that that which you have made provision for is what's going to take care of you. He says, don't do that. Don't lay up for yourself treasures upon the earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal that which you've stirred up. You don't live your life that way. He says, instead, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. You lay up treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Why? It is in heaven. Oh, this is interesting. It says here, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And the point is this. If you live in for yourself and your treasures are earthy rather than heavenly, and thieves are able to steal it, your heart is always going to be where your treasure is. If your heart is in the heavens, then your focus is heavenly, and therefore your provision comes from above. But if your focus is on the earth, then your heart is connected to that which you hold as important in the earth realm, and thieves and corruption can come into it, and it all gets messed up. Your heart, when it is stolen from God, becomes plagued with restlessness. It becomes enslaved. And God is saying to us, if you don't want to be enslaved in your thinking, turn over to God. Next verse. The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, focused, the whole body shall be full of light. But, now, this particular aspect here, verse 22 and verse 23, interestingly enough, those that are true students of the Bible and understand the adage that has been postulated here, understand that this is about giving. When your eye is single, it is about you being a giver. Interesting that your giving is linked with being enlightened. Now, verse 23 says, but if thine eye be evil, Let me keep that. He says, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. And if therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, notice what it says. If the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? What is that all about? It is about giving to the wrong things. If you are not given into the kingdom of God, God says you are not going to receive an enlightenment. And your whole body, your whole system is light. But if you give in yourself to building your own kingdom, settling yourself, having your own treasure, God says that's evil. And he says that light of you just living for yourself is going to generate great darkness. And then it says, next verse, no man can serve two masters. The decision to walk in divine peace is established in the reality of you giving yourself completely to God and trusting God. When you trust God implicitly, when you trust God completely, then you don't hold back from God, because you understand God is your source, God is your provider, God is the one who meets all of your needs according to his riches in glory, not according to the economy of your city or your province or state or your country or the world, according to his riches. And that which God provides, child of God, is lasting. God knows how to meet your needs. And you need not worry about yourself, your circumstance, your situation. What am I going to do? How am I going to do this? God says, I'll take care of that part. You just focus on my kingdom, and I'll take care of you. The challenge then is this. The kingdom of God is so humongous. If I can concern myself about myself, how is it that I can concern myself about something that is way bigger than me? And God says, that too, it's not for you to worry about, because God comes and becomes a partner with you. He says, take my yoke. It is easy. My burdens are light. God says, just relax. Just relax. And I plead with you this evening to just chill, relax. Stop worrying. Stop fretting. Stop filling your mind with all these concerns here, then, otherwise. And just rest in the faithfulness of God. He will never leave you, neither will he ever forsake you. He is your present help in the time of trouble. I don't know how God is going to meet you all of the needs in your life, but I'm convinced that he will. Yes, he will. I've seen him do it again and again and again in my life, in this ministry. God just stepping in and taking care of things. Every one of us faces one kind of a challenge or the other. To think that there are no challenges and there is no place where you wonder where is the next meal going to come from? It's to bury your head in the sand like an ostrich. All I'm saying to you tonight is this, and I'm not just saying it to you, I'm saying it to me also. Remind yourself of the fact that God is bigger than any problem that you'll ever face. Remind yourself that God, this God that we serve, is not only well able to meet your every need, He does this according to His riches. The God who created the universe and all the wealth and resources therein cares about you. And He loves you. And He wants to surprise you every day. He wants to surprise me every day. And He's saying, I can't do it if you don't let me. That's all. If you just let me, you will have testimonies of my provision. But as long as you are trying to take care of business yourself, I can't do anything. Don't tie God down. Trust Him. Let Him be God in your life. If you and I let Him, we will have stories to share. Oh, one of the reasons I look forward to experiencing life with the rest of the saints when we pass from this phase to the other is to hear the amazing testimonies of men and women that experience God in supernatural ways. But we don't have to wait till then. We can experience those testimonies now. In the now. Let God be God. Focus on Him. As you look unto Him, you become changed into the same image. That's why He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. As you seek Him, His mind, His character, His personhood, His creativity begins to flow in you and with you and through you, and He begins to turn the ordinary around to something extraordinary. I love you, and I thank God for every one of you. I look forward to ministering to you again this next Wednesday. But until then, let us pray. Heavenly Father, help us. Help us, every one of us, to trust you. In the face of the challenges, many times we, like the Israelites, we see the good of the land, but then we see the giants, and we begin to see ourselves as grasshoppers. And as we see ourselves, so does the enemy see us. But today, O God, we step away from that kind of thinking. And we recognize, O God, that we are a covenant people. That you have a covenant relationship with us. That you have made a covenant that if we seek first your kingdom, seek it first, every other thing shall be added. That as we seek your kingdom first, Lord, that you will help us find what we need for our daily sustenance. You will increase our little and make it much. You met with the widow of Zarephath, and you turned her flour and her oil that were finite to an infinite resource that kept on producing. Every time she needed, the resource was there. Lord, oh God, even as you did the miracle for me, I experienced you filling gas tanks and filling freezers. experience you taking me shopping into another realm. Lord, oh God, let your sons and your daughters experience the miraculous, experience your provisions. We seek you, Father. We seek you and your kingdom and your righteousness. Now let every other thing be added. Lord, oh God, day after day, sons and daughters will testify, look what God did for me. Look what God did for me. Look at what God has done. I had this little, but it expanded. It increased so much that I was able to solve a problem. It was going to take millions, with hundreds, because God provided for me. Lord, let your church, your people, experience amazing testimonies in this last of the last days. Let your kingdom come and your will be done here in the earth as it is in heaven. We give you praise for all things in Jesus' mighty name. If you are listening tonight and you feel like, you know, Pastor, I've heard the word, and I've been worrying all this time. I've been fretting after this and that. I've been overwhelmed. My mind has been bombarded. Will you pray for me? I pray that you be released from that pressure and from the lies and the deceptions of the enemy to recognizing that God sees you, God loves you, and God is your source. If you do not know him as your personal Lord and Savior, just repeat these words after me. If you're willing to turn your life over to God right now, just say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Take control of it. Save me. And make me a testimony of the expressions of your loving kindness and your tender mercies. I receive your love and I take no thought for my life, worrying about anything, but I take your spirit of love, your power, and your sound mind. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for making me a new person this day and henceforth. Amen and amen. God bless you. I love you. I celebrate the goodness of God in your life, and may the joy of the Lord be your strength. Share this message with somebody on social media. Let them know that God loves them and cares about the issues that face them today. It's a miracle-working God. Good night. See you on Wednesday. Love you.